Penguin Audio presents Demon by Daniel Suarez. Read by Jeff Gerner with Garrett Scott.
D-A-E-M-O-N. Demon. Noun. A computer program that runs continuously in the background and performs specified operations at predefined times or in response to certain events. Condensed from Disk and Execution Monitor.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Execution.
Reuters.com Business. Matthew A. Sobel, Ph.D., co-founder and chief technology officer of Cyberstorm Entertainment, HSTM NASDAQ, died today at age 34 after a prolonged battle with brain cancer. A pioneer in the $40 billion computer game industry, Sobel was the architect of Cyberstorm's best-selling online games, Over the Rhine and The Gate. Cyberstorm CEO Kenneth Kvault describes Sobel as a tireless innovator and a rare intellect.
What the hell just happened?
That was all Joseph Pavlos kept thinking as he clenched a gloved hand against his throat. It didn't stop the blood from pulsing between his fingers. Already a shockingly wide pool had formed in the dirt next to his face. He was on the ground somehow. Although he couldn't see the gash, the pain told him the wound was deep. He rolled onto his back and stared up at a stretch of spotless blue sky. His usually methodical mind sped frantically through the possibilities, like someone groping for an exit in a smoke-filled building. He had to do something, anything, but what? The phrase, "What the hell just happened?" kept echoing in his head uselessly, while blood kept spurting between his fingers. Adrenaline surged through his system, his heart beating faster. He tried to call out. No good. Blood squirted several inches into the air and sprinkled his face.
Carotid artery.
He was pressing on his neck so hard he was almost strangling himself. And he'd been feeling so good just moments before this. He remembered that much, at least. His last debts repaid at long last. He was getting calmer now. Which was strange. He kept trying to remember what he'd been doing, what brought him here to this place. It seemed so unimportant now. His hand began to relax its hold. He could see plainly that there was no emergency, because there was no logical scenario by which he would emerge from this alive. And after all, it was his unequaled talent for logic that had brought Pavlos so far in life, had brought him halfway around the world. This was it. He'd already done everything he would ever do. His peripheral vision began to constrict, and he felt like an observer. He was calm now. And it was in that cold, detached state that he realized Matthew Sobel had died. That's what the news said. And then it all made sense to him. Sobel's game finally made sense. It was beautiful, really.
Clever men.
Chapter 2. Rogue Process. Thousand Oaks, California had an overzealous sanitary charm. They didn't build homes here, they manufactured them. 100 identical Mediterranean villas at a stroke. Gated subdivisions named in every combination of bridge, haven, glen, and lake covered the hillsides. Upscale retail chains had embassies in the city center, and the service people drove in each day from vassal communities. Where the medieval city of Lyon had its lane of tanners, Southern California had its vale of the baristas and canyon of firefighters and rescue personnel. For average working folks, America was becoming a puzzle. Who was buying all these $200 copper saucepans anyway? And how was everyone paying for these BMWs? Were people shrewd or just stupefyingly irresponsible? Pete Seebeck thought television held some clues. Channel surfing late at night, unable to sleep, Seebeck considered the commercials aimed at him. Was he their demographic? Had they correctly deduced him? And what did that say about him? The History Channel seemed to think he was either a Korean War veteran looking for a truly capable brush mower, or that he was desperately in need of a career change. He had a nasty suspicion they were right about one of them. The 101 freeway cut Thousand Oaks in two, but there really was no wrong side of the freeway. It had been named the safest small city in America. And as Detective Sergeant Peter Seebeck watched the tidy boulevards roll past his passenger window, he recalled why he and Laura moved here 13 years ago, back when it was affordable. Ventura County was a great place to raise children. If you fucked up raising kids here, then God himself could not have helped you. Migraine Pete! Seebeck turned to Nathan Mance, looking at him with concern from the driver's seat. Seebeck barely shook his head. Mance knew better than to pursue it. Seebeck thought about the radio call from Burkow. It would certainly rattle a few country club gates. Seebeck and Mance cruised through town with the strobes flashing, but no siren. No need to alarm anyone. From his unmarked Crown Victoria, Seebeck watched the unsuspecting citizenry, the tax base on power walks. They'd have something to talk about tonight at Pilates class. The Crown Vic descended into the undeveloped canyons just beyond the last subdivision wall. The scene wasn't difficult to find. An ambulance, three patrol units, and a few unmarked cars on the sandy shoulder of Potrero Road marked the location. Two deputy sheriffs stood near a closed steel gate flanked by chain-link fence stretching out in either direction. Mance rolled the cruiser into the driveway before the gate. Seebeck stepped from the car and turned to the nearest officer.
Coroner?
En route, Sergeant.
Where's Detective Burkow?
The deputy thumbed in the direction of a hole cut in the side of the chain-link fence. Seebeck waited for Mance, who was radioing in. Seebeck looked back at the deputy.
Let's get this gate open.
Can't, Sergeant. It's got one of those remote control locks built into it. There's nothing to cut.
Seebeck nodded as Mance caught up to him.
The property is owned by a local company, Cyberstorm Entertainment. We got through to their people. They're sending someone down.
Seebeck moved through the hole in the fence, followed by Mance. They marched along a dirt road, winding among the chaparral on the canyon bottom. Soon they came to a crowd of EMTs and deputy sheriffs standing well back from a photographer. They were all shiny with sweat in the midday sun. The paramedics had a gurney, but no one was in a hurry. They turned as Seebeck and Mance crunched across the dirt toward them.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
A glance.
Ladies.
They mumbled greetings and parted to let Seebeck and Mance pass. Detective Martin Burkow, a corpulent man in his 50s with ill-fitting pants, stood on a mound of sandy soil at the edge of the road. Next to him, the police photographer leaned forward to get an overhead shot of a body lying in the road. A pool of brownish, dried blood stretched out beneath it and traced dark rivulets downhill. Seebeck gazed over the scene. A motocross motorcycle lay 20 yards down the road on the side of a nearby hill. He could see where it bounded into the left wall of the canyon and then rolled back across the dirt road. Above the road, between him and the body, a taut steel cable stretched at neck level. The cable traversed the road at a 45-degree angle, closer on the left side, farther away on the right. Anything racing through here would grind down the cable like a saw blade. The cable was bloodstained for a good 10-foot length. The body lay 10 yards beyond that, a motorcycle helmet 5 yards farther still. Seebeck's eyes followed the thin steel cable rightward to a steel pole rising from the chaparral, then leftward through the bushes. A freshly cut groove crossed the dirt roadway directly beneath the cable.
Martin, what do we have?
Detective Burkow coughed the consumptive cough of a lifelong smoker.
Hi, Pete. Thanks for coming down. Caucasian male, approximately 30 years old. A local walking his dog found the body about an hour ago. It was reported as a 1054, but I thought I'd call you guys. This is looking more like a 187.
Seebeck and Mance looked at each other and raised their eyebrows. Homicide. Rare in Thousand Oaks. The only killings made down here were in real estate. The photographer nodded to Burkow and made his way back along the edge of the road. Burkow motioned for them to move forward.
Stick to the left in the ruts. All the footprints are on the other side.
He stepped down off the mound. Seebeck and Mance ducked under the cable and stood over the body. Seebeck was relieved to see the head still attached. The nearby helmet was empty. The dead man wore an expensive-looking motocross jumpsuit.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?